It's here and now.
It was just a little more f***ed up than I thought it should be.
That's Dave Grohl's first impression of Sound City, the lived-in, shag carpeting on the walls, Van Nuys, California recording studio that this former Nirvana drummer remembers changed his life forever. The studio launched bands like Nirvana. Bands like Nirvana kept relaunching the studio. It was a place where drums sounded like thunder, and a hand-built mythical recording console called the Neve 8028 pole-vaulted musicians into stardom.
Tom Petty.
Fleetwood Mac.
Rick Springfield.
Rick Springfield.
Neil Young, man.
Cheap Trick.
The Chili Peppers.
Rob Halford.
Pat Benatar.
And the list goes on and on. From its opening in 1969 to its closing in 2011, Sound City produced more than 100 gold and platinum albums under the tutelage of owners Tom Skeeter and Joe Gottfried. In his film, Sound City, Dave Grohl chronicles the recording studio's rise in the 1970s and again in the 80s to its demise, its death in the analog graveyard with the advent of the digital age. He speaks with dozens of musicians, producers, engineers, managers, all of whom have fond memories of the studio and one of the studio managers named Paula.
Paula Salvadori.
She was smoking hot.
Italiano.
Every musician that went in there thought that Paula was in love with them.
Paula would say, I really like this one, you know. That could lift my whole day.
We heard from Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon, Pat Benatar's husband, the guitarist Neil Giraldo, Tom Petty. And I should say, I knew Paula, too, and just about everyone I knew loved Paula. Paula Salvatori was studio manager at Sound City from 1981 to 1990. She's now a senior director and manager at Capitol Studios in Los Angeles and joins us from there. Is that embarrassing, Paula?
It's very funny. It's very surreal. My job was just to manage the craziness and run it, try to book it.
Bring us back to the beginning. One of the big early peaks was when two young musicians wandered in. In fact, they had no place to sleep or stay. Who were they?
Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks.
Stevie, at one point, was cleaning houses for some of the people. And then they discovered some other musicians, and they thought they'd sound good together?
What it was Keith was trying to show Mick Fleetwood the room.
Keith Olsen, who was one of the engineers there.
Yeah, he was showing Mick how the room sounded.
Mick Fleetwood.
And as a demo, he was playing back Lindsey's recordings with Stevie.
And suddenly you have Mick Fleetwood saying, wow, they're good, let's play together. And days later you have Fleetwood Mac. Early on, there's a marvelous piece of technology that people felt brought out the humanity of the music. It's the Neve 8028 recording console. It was built by British engineer Rupert Neve. And here's just some of the musicians in the film talking about it. Neil Young, Barry Manilow, others.
I do remember that there was something different about the sound of this board. And then, of course, everybody was, oh, my God, it's a Neve board. I'll never forget them saying.
It looks like, you know, the Enterprise on steroids from a long time ago.
It seems as if they almost treated it like a lover.
In a dark room with a console with the low lights and big knobs, it just sounds kind of funny. But yes, the guys love the console.
You could put your hands on the pots and move them up and down and control the
sounds.
And
it was really warm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, but tell us more about what it was like to be in those rooms late at night. Almost like prehistoric people gathering on a campfire or something.
Yeah, I really felt like when I went in there and I would hear tracks and smile with everybody and everybody smiling and like how it's sounding, it was just such a rush.
In the late 70s, Sound City fell on hard times. It's rescued for the first of many times by Rick Springfield. Pop star, he was star of the soap opera General Hospital. He sang hits like this one. Springfield's success draws other people to Sound City. The glam bands, as you say, the long-haired bands and the punk rockers, they ruled the 80s. But then along comes digital sound and the compact disc.
People were still purist and wanted to come in for the analog sound. Keith got a digital console next door, and everybody was like thrashing it.
Some of the musicians didn't want to use that studio, but, you know, he had groups that he produced that did. Sound City's starting to fall again, but then these guys showed up.
I heard Nirvana and I heard Teen Spirit. I was like, Sound City's gonna live. That's the first thought I had was like, thank you.
Well, and it did. Bands flock there, Rage Against the Machine, the Hot Chili Peppers, business is booming, but eventually digital does kill the analog star. Everybody's making their music out of their basement. Tell us about Dave Grohl's reaction to this, his wanting to make the film about Sound City.
I think he's trying to promote the live energy of music without worrying about how perfect you're going to sound and how much you can punch in your own parts or redo your own parts. I think he wants the live energy.
Well, Sound City closes its doors, very poignant. Dave Grohl buys the Neve mixing board, moves it into his studio. We are suddenly in a new movie in which we're watching all these musicians that we heard talk about Sound City now recording with Dave Grohl. The result is a companion soundtrack to the film. It's called Sound City Reel to Reel. Let's just listen to a little of Dave Grohl with some of his Nirvana bandmates and Paul McCartney.
It's just amazing that he was able to capture that in his own studio and get Paul McCartney to work with him and, you know, create that music with him. He's gone a few full circles.
Well, it comes full circle for you, too, because Dave Grohl, now this is Dave Grohl. Let's see, what song does he use at the end of his movie? Yours.
Heard a song on the radio just after school.
I was happened to be there while they were filming a Rick Springfield segment, and I had the CD in my hand, and I said, you inspired me, I wrote this song, and he was like, whoa. And he's holding it, and I said, no, put it in. I play it. He played it, and within the first chorus, he goes, this is great. It's a great end title.
It strikes me that the way that happened is so Sound City.
It truly was.
Yeah.
It truly was.
I want to play a song.
That's Paula Salvatore. She was studio manager at Sound City from 1981 to 1990, now senior director and manager at Capitol Studios in Los Angeles. To see pictures of Sound City in its heyday and for more on Dave Grohl's film about this legendary recording studio and companion CD, go to hearnow.org. Paula, very, very happy for your success.
Oh, thank you, Robin.
I want to play a song, everyone sing along, standing on the stage with the lights turned on.
Here Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again here and now.
Yeah, we got it on two-inch tape down at Sound City. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We got it on two-inch tape down at Sound City.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.